Hi there, everyone. This is Dr. Don Callan coming to you from South Central Washington State. And it's great to be with you once again. And we just started going through certain portions of the Gospel of John. We've done that before, but we are particularly looking at the term I am. And I'm certainly not a super expert at things, but I know enough that there's some amazing things about it. And but before we get into that, I want to cover perhaps another area for the first half of the program, and that is as far as the power of God's healing word. And we have today a number of, we have the medical profession out there that they are, as you all know, they practice medicine. And sometimes they don't practice it too well because they really don't know. There's so much money involved that they've been trained in one way only. And or just a couple different ways, and it's usually always tied around money, and they don't even recognize it themselves because so much has been handed to them by the medical schools and the pharmaceutical companies, and they don't even know that there's other ways. Lots of them haven't had a class on nutrition, and if they did, it was only an elective when they went through, and there was only one class. And so it's really a shame that our doctors are kept so much blindsided that they don't know that there's any other way. In fact, they're taught that other ways are either just phony baloney or even dangerous. And I know that two or three years ago, back in 2006, went through, they discovered cancer in my body and went through the traditional way of chemo. And fortunately, I had something else to take along with it that I didn't lose any of my hair, had lots of energy going through it, because it was a natural means as well, and came out the other side in 6 months with at least the stuff that they do with the scans and all things clear. But coming back again, they're found out the last up until the last 3 weeks that I've been attacking things with this, specifically with the Word of God, and then also just some natural ways, found myself in a position that was not good. And so we want to go over what the Word of God says. And there are different programs on BBS that will cover natural healing, and I would encourage you to go to those. I think I just informed by Don there at BBS that they have one that specifically deals with cancer a bit, fair amount. Dr. Carl O'Helvey, and then also on the first thing Saturday mornings is there's the Dr. Ben Joseph. And so if you are looking at various types of sickness, I'd encourage you to try to find those programs and search them out. And but along with that, it is important to have the Word of God. When we look at the Bible, we see that the world was created by the Word of God, the creation that they say Big Bang, whatever, they can't explain that. They keep going back and back to to the micro and nanoseconds of the initial thing, but what initiated it? Where did it come from? Well, the Bible itself talks about that. Some people think, well, God created things out of nothing. No, that's not what the Bible says. Let's look at it rightly. It says that it was created out of those things which do not appear. So they're invisible to our natural realm, but they were there, but it was out of those things which do not appear. And so all of a sudden they change into this form that does appear. And so I don't know how that's done, and but we know that God's word is true, and that's what we do. I speak to you and speak to myself the word of God, and because we need to go to that as well. And it has power. It says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And what we declare over ourselves, we have to be very careful what we declare over our children, over ourselves, over our loved ones. And we have to be sure that we are blessing and not cursing. And so we come back again and again and again to the tongue. It says if a person does not err or does not commit sin with his tongue, he is a perfect man. But who's perfect? Because we err with our tongue. The power of life and death, the Bible declares, is in what we say. So it's we think of the Bible all about perhaps prayers. You pray this or pray that, pray. Well, that's excellent. There are many prayers that we need to pray. But if you look at Jesus and the disciples, it's an amazing thing. We get the wrong perspective without actually going to the scriptures. We think that we're supposed to pray this and that, and true, Jesus, in fact, many times talks to us about praying about various things. However, what do we see from him and his disciples? Okay, what we see is we don't see him praying for anybody to be healed or anybody to be delivered from demonic spirits. He speaks a word and they are set free, or they are touched by him, or they touch the hem of his garment, or they just hear the word and it's done, just by the declaration of the word. And he would speak words to people, and those words would have power and life, and it would cancel the effects of death and overrule them with power and life. Now we come to the disciples. Well, what did they do? What's this? We start looking at the miracles that happened with them, and it's the same thing. They would speak to people to tell them to do things, it's a matter of even strange things. It talked about aprons or like handkerchiefs taken from an apostle, and if they were just taken to somebody else, there was an anointing and power that went with it. It's sort of like, start thinking about the evil things. You think of Ouija boards and things like that. There's often, when people go to the stores and buy something like that, there is actually an evil, demonic demon that goes with that, and it tries to get you into a place that they can enter into your body, they want a home. Well, the word of God is powerful and gives life instead of death. You see, the Ouija board is the side of things that is evil and brings death and destruction. And even though it seems comes as an angel of light, which Satan did, Lucifer came as an angel of light to bring intelligence. However, it was partially a lie because Satan is the father of all lies, and it would draw you to, so you'd see the truth and get you to believe the lie part. So, but God wants life. He's bringing truth to you. So what I'm going to start out by, actually today I'm going to read to you probably for several minutes, and then we'll probably try to get back into John, the great I am, throughout that scripture, that there are many I am's that we want to see what that is. Well, what do you mean by I am anyway? Well, every time in the Bible, when we see in the Old Testament, God the Father was, what was the name of God the Father? It was I am. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is using this term, which is making himself equal with the Father. So he is the Son of God, and he is equal with the Father. Well, this was very, turned people either totally against him or totally for him. It really cut to the chase of as far as one's spirit and heart and soul, that it made people either come and they could see the ongoing miracles and miracles and miracles and miracles and miracles and miracles and love and compassion, but yet others would see, well, this, he is trying to declare that he as a man is God. And so even regardless of the miracles, they would not accept that because they saw this other, and that this a man is declaring that he is the Son of God or equal with God. So it was a very, throughout the book of John, there's so much light and truth there, but you start looking at this terminology, it was the catalyst that created so much hatred toward him, and also drew people and realize that many others would declare that this has to be the Messiah. This is the promised Messiah. Well, we're going to get into the Word of God here, and this little bit that I'm going to be reading, I'm not sure how long it'll take, whether it's a half hour or just what, but it's just a couple pages, but it's a little bit smaller print, and it's called The Healing Word. And it's actually printed up by the Healing Rooms in Yakima. I'm just south of Yakima, Washington, and there's this group of many cities across the country have what is called the Healing Rooms, and it's out of a place called Spokane, Washington, and it goes way back to the time in the early, I think at the turn of the prior century, back to the 1900s in there, the early 1900s, and the Healing Rooms was declared actually by the President of the United States as the healthiest city in the United States, of all cities. And it was because of the ministry of John G. Lake. Now, there was over 100,000 medically documented healings in a period of 5 years just through prayer and things. You see, there is a place in the Bible that it does say, go to the elders, and they will anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and you will be healed. And so most people just remember that part of the scripture and don't realize that Jesus didn't pray for people to be healed, and really the disciples didn't either, the apostles, that they spoke a word over them or in various ways, and they were healed directly by a declaration. Well, you can get healing both ways. It is a wise person that will use that means, but then also, like today, we are very fortunate to have like these people on BBS and others that will bring forth light in the area of healing in natural means. Because we see from the Word of God that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. Well, that's whether the person that has brought it, brings it forth, even knows God or not, it's a matter, it's a gift from God to his people. And because he loves us, and he loves all humanity, whether they're saved or not saved, his purpose is that you shall be saved. He wants you saved. You see, there's only two kinds of people, those who are saved and those who are not saved. Those who are about to be saved, or those who are saved. Well, I don't know if you are saved or not, or if you're about to be saved. But you see, it's a simple process. It's a matter, and yet it's a life-changing process. What happens is that you come before your Creator and say, Father, forgive my sins. And then you ask his Son, Jesus Christ, to come into your heart, and then you ask them, and through the Holy Spirit as well, to change you, to make you the kind of person that your Creator and your Father has purposed for you to be, rather than where you have ended up, so that he wants the blessing and the glory of God to not just be outside of you someplace else in the universe or someplace else in the earth. He wants it to come inside of you and for you to be in alignment with God Almighty. Well, how do we do that? Well, it's just like I said, we ask our Creator for forgiveness. We say, Father, forgive our sins. And then we say, Jesus, come into my heart. And then we declare, make me the kind of person, oh God, that you want me to be. Then we just need to be thankful and praise him for doing that even before we see the change. We declare, you see, there's truth and there's facts. And which do you want to live by? Do you want to live by the facts in your life? Or do you want to live by the Word of God and the truth? You see, the facts can change. If we declare the Word of God over our life, which is truth, then it affects the facts. You see, there's scripture also as far as angels. What do angels do? Well, they can do nothing. They will do nothing except by the Word of God. Well, does that mean that they're just dependent, waiting and listening for God to say something? No, the Word of God. So if he spoke it in the past, and then we, as his creation, start declaring it out loud, and it goes forth out of our mouth with faith and believing, then it employs these angels that are unemployed. They're there waiting. They have a job to do, but it says that they can do nothing except by the Word of God. So if you want your angel employed, you see, for those that are destined for life forever with God, and that's his purpose for everyone, that you have an angel, and it talks about little children, the angels of the little children are always beheld by God the Father, and so he cares for us, he cares for you. So turn your life over to him if you haven't. Ask him to come in. Okay, the scripture I'm going to be reading from, as I said, came from the healing rooms. And this I told you about this John G. Lake, that the president sent out a signed statement and declared Spokane the healthiest city in the nation, and that had this over 100,000 people healed in just about 4 to 5 years, as far as documented through this process of the Word of God being spoken over them. So this was revived because of the spirit of John G. Lake was still in the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that John G. Lake was still here or his spirit. No, it's the same spirit. To be the same spirit of somebody else, that means you're united. So there's this spirit that has been released in the earth from the Holy Spirit, and you come along and you get united with the Holy Spirit, and you can tie into the gifts of God through, just like when there's talks about in the Bible of Elijah, that well, Elijah would come. And Jesus was saying, if you can accept it, John the Baptist was Elijah. John the Baptist himself said he wasn't Elijah, but yet Jesus said, if you can accept it, he was, because he came in the spirit of Elijah. Was it the exact same person? No, it wasn't the exact same person, but they both had the same spirit. And so this spirit also is re-released in the earth of the healing rooms, and it has gone forth from there. I know within 2 to 3 years, I haven't kept up with it, but there was already over 300 that it had spread from Spokane to over 300 as of about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and gone overseas. So I'd encourage you, perhaps in your city there might be a place like that, and you might check as best you can, whether it's on the internet or find it says this, like this one in Yakima, is a member of the International Association of Healing Rooms from Spokane, Washington. Okay, let me get into this. The healing word, he sent his word and healed them. You can live free from sickness and disease if you are a child of God. Once we understand where sickness comes from, we can understand why we are able to get rid of it. God's word clearly reveals that death, disease, and sickness originated with sin, and now we are being now are being spread by Satan. Now we see the scripture references. I'll go ahead and interrupt what I'm saying with these scripture references. So if you want to write these down, I would encourage you to go ahead and do that, and just abbreviate it as best you can, and I'll go ahead and read these. It'll make things a little bit disconnected, but I want you to be able to go back and grab hold, be able to find it in Scripture so it doesn't get away from you. So it's just not words going through the air right now, but then you can go back and find it in Scripture yourself. So we see this in as far as God's Word clearly reveals that death, disease, and sickness originated with sin and are now being spread by Satan. We see that in Romans 5, 12 through 21. Job 2:6-7, and Luke 13:16. Think of all those Jesus healed. The gospel says they were all oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. Only when sin is taken out of the human race will there be no more sickness. Until then, we pray for the sick to be healed. The Bible teaches that forgiveness of sins and healing of the body go hand in hand. Healing is just as easy to receive from God as forgiveness of sins. If you have need of healing, it is only right that you surrender your life to God if you expect Him to heal you. Healing is one of the benefits of being in right relationship with God. Now, I know many good people that are Christians that are sick, but you see, the problem is, as God says, my own people perish for lack of knowledge. So we want to pick up this knowledge, and that's what we're doing right now. We're picking up the knowledge because we want it in our lives. So healing is one of the benefits of being in right relationship with God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. He forgives all of your sins and heals all your diseases. That's Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3. God calls himself in Scripture Jehovah Rapha, which means I am. That's the Jehovah part, is the I am that Jesus often called himself. And Rapha is the, as far as I am the Lord, your healer. That's in Exodus 15:26. When believers agree together, things begin to happen. Join with others in agreeing upon your condition. Pray for one another. Get anointed with oil. Mark 6:13 and James 5:14-16 talks about that. Jesus exercised no power in his ministry which is not available to every believer today. True believers can heal the sick and cast out devils. They can perform miracles and even raise the dead. Now, there are two people in the world today. One of them, they're both, there's a third one that has about 63, I heard as of about 3 years ago, people raised from the dead. There's two of them, one that's over 100 and one that's over 200 people raised from the dead. Some of these people have been dead for over 4 days. They stink and everything else. But you see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So two of these people are basically unknown because they're third world countries. With the person is the third world person. The one that has the 60-some actually got their doctorate and even PhD down. I don't know if it was Stanford or one of those big name universities in California. True believers can heal the sick and cast out devils. They can perform miracles and even raise the dead. Many will say these things were only for the apostles, just get to the just to get the church started. Not true, my friend. This is for today, and what true disciples were meant to do. Satan's objective. Satan's primary objective is to discredit God. Spoiling our bodies is one way he operates. Created in the image of God, we are caught in the middle of this spiritual battleground. Satan, as your enemy, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's from 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He will devour you with disease and sickness if you let him. Our great advantage is that God sent his son to destroy the works of the devil. Now, you need to know that. That's what I need to know, and we need to know it not in the back of our mind where 99% plus of everything is, but we need to remember that every day. That in 1 John 3:8, it says that God sent his son to destroy the works of the devil. God, so why was Jesus sent? To destroy the works of the devil. Because God loves us. God, through Jesus Christ, will destroy Satan's evil work in your body. Our failures come because of an imperfect understanding of God's word. God's word declares that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. Satan, your adversary, knows the truth better than you do. Until you discover and start claiming what is legally yours, Satan will continue his harassment and assault on your life. He knows your weak areas. Christ is the healer. The Bible clearly reveals that God's will wills to be the healer of his people and declares his will to heal all those who obey him. Christ's works of healing were not only to prove his divinity, but were a part of his complete mission of fulfilling the will of God. Here am I. I have come to do your will, he declared. This is what it says in Hebrews 10:9. Many followed Jesus, and he healed all their sick. Matthew 12:15. Jesus himself is a revelation of the will of God. He did the will of God. He healed all who came to him. He has and unchanging priesthood. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's in Hebrews 13:8. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, God's word tells us that when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. If he bore them, then they are rightfully and legally belong to him. And for us to take them upon our body is to be taking something that does not belong to us. In the material realm, if one takes something that does not belong to him, he is classified as a thief. The same thing applies in the spiritual realm. If Christ took our sins, then the sin does not belong to the believer as long as the believer has sin. Christ's atonement means nothing to him. If Christ took our sickness and pain, then they do not belong to the believer. And for a believer to have them is illegal. And Christ's death in bearing them means nothing. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, and 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. At the hands of unbelievers, Jesus was beaten and crucified. On his body, deep furrows were plowed by an awful Roman lash, and it literally tore pieces of flesh from his back. These were the stripes by which Isaiah and Peter say, "We were healed." And they were laid on his body. This was the bearing of our sickness, and so the provision was made for the healing of our body. Then they nailed him to the cross and pierced his side. His blood ran down on the ground. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus, our Lamb, suffered in two ways. He shed his blood on the cross for our salvation from sin, and he bore the stripes on his body for our healing from sicknesses. If you have let him take your sins, won't you let him take your sicknesses? Healing is part of your salvation. Do not be cheated out of it any more than you would permit yourself to be cheated out of forgiveness of sin. Free from the curse. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we find sickness spoken of as a part of the curse. But Galatians 3:13 declares that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Look for a moment to the sicknesses stated in Deuteronomy 28. Diseases, fever, and inflammation, scorching heat, drought, hemorrhoids, the scab, the itch, boils, tumors, madness, blindness, confusion of mind, and many more, including all the diseases of Egypt. And as if these were not enough, verse 61 adds, "Every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law." Is there anything left to be uncovered? If you are carrying a disease, you are carrying a part of the curse. This should not be. Deuteronomy 7:15 tells us that diseases belong to those that hate God. God has set us free from the curse of the law through Christ Jesus our Lord, for whoever will meet the conditions and believe the word. We may say to ourselves, is it his will? But God is no respecter of persons. His promises are to all. Is any one of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. James 5:14. God is as willing to heal as he is to forgive sins. The only hindrance in getting the full benefits of Calvary is unbelief and lack of appropriation of the blessing which Christ died to give all men. We see this in Isaiah 53, 4 through 5, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, James 5, 14 and 16, and 3 John, verse 2. Have faith in God's will. Faith in God works. The power of God flows through the conduit of faith. Jesus said numerous times, according to your faith be it unto you. Matthew 9:29. The faith that receives from God is based upon the knowledge of his will. We cannot definitely take healing by faith if there is any question whether it is for us. Healing is part of the atonement work of Christ on the cross. We know that not all are saved, even though it is God's will that none should perish, because not all appropriate the blessing of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In the same light, not all appropriate the blessing of divine healing, because not all have absolute faith that Jesus desires to heal them. When we have a proper knowledge of the will of God, we do not pray, Lord, if it be thy will, please heal me. For the if implies doubt, and doubt cancels faith. We do not pray useless, unbelieving prayers concerning anything that God has promised. If you truly feel that it is God's will for you to be sick, you have no business going to the doctor trying to get rid of the will of God. The will of God is expressed in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is heaven filled with sick people? Our will also has a big part in the question of healing. Will we take that which God has willed to give us? If you will abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. John 15:7. When we know God's will for us, when we simply need to ask God for it, when our will meets his I will, the work is done. How to be healed? We've got to have our ears up now. It says, how to be healed? You have the right and the authority to claim healing from God when you are a born-again Christian, Matthew 13:15. When you are diligently listening to God, Exodus 15:26, and when you are attending to God's word, Proverbs 4:20-22, and when your faith is unwavering, James 1:6-7. Now don't give up. If you don't have enough faith, you can get it. Not everyone believes perfectly every time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Begin to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. As you speak the word of God boldly, over and over, you will build your faith, and your life will become full of God's grace. Begin to confess what God says about you and your healing. Search the word and collect verses to confess regarding your circumstances. Make it a practice to use these verses on a daily basis to build your faith. don't read them quietly, but read them aloud. Remember I said that earlier, before I started speaking this, is that this is a very important thing, that we speak things out loud, that you declare them. You're going, prayer is praying to God, but then, you see, you have to, it's very important to release the declaration out of your mouth over your body or over your child's body or over somebody else's body. And it's exceedingly important that you take the Word of God, like it says in the Word of God, and that you declare His words. Remember the angels, they only do according to the Word of God. So we don't want to use other words. We want to, I mean, we can, that is fine. But the angels are going to respond to the Word of God being spoken. So we want to declare out loud the Word of God over our lives or over the situations that we're in, and so we're using His words. This is why I said at the beginning of the program that there is a difference between facts and truth. And sometimes they can be identical. But when the facts don't line up with the truth, then we need to declare over and over in our lives, in our mouth, and then by our actions that we are believing for the truth to be prevail. And it will, as it's released and declared over and over, not just repetitiously, but it's coming from your heart and soul and spirit, that it changes. It releases power in the universe, and it releases the power of God and the Holy Spirit and angelic hosts to fulfill and bring about the change of those facts. And then the facts will match change to what the truth is. But we are often in quagmires of facts, and the facts do not line up with the truth of God. So we need to find out what is the truth of God and get that and speak it out loud so that it can change the facts. Don't read them quietly, but read them aloud. You are building your own faith. Break your silence with God's unchanging word. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved here literally means restored to health. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess and are saved or restored to health. Romans 10, 8 through 10. Here are some examples of what to say. So let's listen to these. This first, I will read these, and then I'll give you a pause and give you the verse. So take down these verses. It says, never confess that I can't. Instead say, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That's Philippians 4:13. Then, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in times of distress. Jeremiah 16:19. Never confess your lack. Instead say, my God will supply all my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Psalms 84:11. Never confess that you fear. Instead say, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. Never confess lack of faith. Instead say, God has given to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. Never confess your weakness. Instead say, I do not fear, for he is with me. I am not dismayed, for he is my God. He will strengthen me and help me. He will uphold me with his righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Never again confess defeat. Instead say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Thanks be to God that always causes me to triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. In all things I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Romans 8:37. Never again confess your sickness. Instead say, Jesus, by your stripes I am healed. 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53:5. He is the Lord that heals me. Exodus 15:26. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who heals all my diseases. Psalms 103:1-3. And in my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark 16:18. God's word is infused into you by giving voice to it with your own mouth. And this is the language of health to your body. Tell Satan out loud that he is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Revelation 12:11. Say that you are washed clean by the blood of Jesus and that by his stripes you are healed, that you refuse to accept the curse of sin and sickness. Jesus died to give you life. Choose life. As you win the battle and symptoms disappear, prepare yourself for the counterattack. Satan does not give up easily. He will attack with a pain or an old symptom in the healed area to try and strike fear and doubt in your heart. This will test your faith. It is vital that you do not deny your healing and accept the condition again. Immediately strike back with the word of God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. When you resist the devil, he must flee from you. Repeat the faith-building verses. The more you speak the word, the more you believe. It is the supernatural medicine bringing faith to your spirit, which works and permeates into your physical body. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith brings the manifestation or the substance or the result, the evidence you are looking for, the things hoped for. A continual affirmation of God's word in faith calls for the healing which is already ours and will build into your immune system a supernatural anointing that is capable of eliminating sickness and disease in your natural body. Well, this is Dr. Don Kellen, and I was bringing to you these words, if you want a copy of that, I believe I could probably get that from the healing rooms. And as I said before, that is from the local one in Yakima, Washington, and I could probably get a copy to you. All you'd have to do is address it, Dr. Don Kellen, and the address is 540-540, and it is Cowan Lane. Spelled the same, C-O-W-I-N, and it's Wapato. That's an Indian name. It's Wapato, W-A-P-A-T-O, and it's Washington. 9-8-9-5-1. Once again, if you wanted the copy of that, I will try to get out a copy to you if you request that. And it's 509. Oh, that's the, just a minute. That's the, it would be 540 Cowan Lane. And it is Wapato, W-A-P-A-T-O, Washington, 98951. I would encourage you to use the Word of God with other people on BBS that they have. So it's a holistic approach. You are using things that, such as Dr. Ben Joseph, and as Don told me just before the program, Dr. Carl O'Helvey, I think it is. I'm probably messing with the pronunciation. But he said it was spelled H-E-L-V-I-E. And if you'd look for that program on BBS and Dr. Ben Joseph and use the Word of God along with it, and the combination, we should use Be Wise, that we are spirit, soul, and body. And what's done in the spirit realm and the soulish realm affects the body. So we don't want to just attack only physically or only spiritually. We are, as far as attacking any disease, because it does not belong there. As part of this, what I read was that if we are holding on to a disease, if you have turned your life over to God, then you are actually a thief, because if you're holding on to something that's not yours, and you see it was paid for by Jesus Christ, He paid for your sin. He paid for your sicknesses and infirmity. And if you are still, if you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you've asked God the Father to forgive your sins, and that Jesus has come into you, and that you've asked Him, asked God the Father to make you the kind of person that He wants you to be, then you belong to Him. And He has taken your sin, and He has taken your diseases. And you, if you are holding on to those diseases, then you are holding on to something that does not belong to you, that it was taken by Jesus Christ, that it was His, put on, that He took on Calvary, on when He was on crucified, and by the whippings He had beforehand. And that you and I have no business taking what is not ours. So we need to know what the Word of God says and declare it, because words have power, especially when they are spoken out loud, and they change things. They change things. They cause like swarms of starling that can destroy cherry crops. You declare them by the blood of God. You get off this property if it's your property. If you have the right and the authority over that property, and you declare that in Jesus' name, it has an effect on nature. There is an effect on nature as far as cloud cover. If you need cloud cover or whatever, there is an effect on nature for the area that you are in responsibility for. If you're each one of us is responsible for our own health, and so we need to declare that you are responsible, in a sense, over your children's. If they are minors, especially if they are not, as far as under teenagers, that they have not reached the place of accountability, then you are responsible to declare the Word of God over them, that the power of God, that the anything coming against them, be taken away. So we are talking about a holistic approach. This is the spiritual side, and that you can find on BBS also the physical side, that will not go to the extremes of of radiation and chemotherapy that not only kill the bad cells, but also kill the good cells. So this is, next week we will get back into the book of John, especially the IMs that are so powerful and cause such an upheaval, and just to see who Jesus Christ is and the power and the of his resurrection and what it means to you and to me. Well, God bless you. I'm going to say goodbye for this week. I hope to be with you next week. If I have a place that I can broadcast from, I'll be in a different location, and I will try to broadcast from there. And so, until we see you again, or talk to you again, this is Dr. Don Kellen coming to you, and may God bless you, and may your heart be open to his word and his direction in your life, because he wants to remove everything that is hampering you from fulfilling his purposes and destiny for your life. God bless you. Bye-bye.